the Seagram's block of Oshawa, Ontario. I'm an idol.
Don't be scared, homie. Come on. Okay, first of all,
the world is smiling at you. The wrestling business is smiling at you. And don't you frown back on it.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker. The king is back.
The man to power, the man with the power. Too sweet to be sour.
Dylan Bunker.
I'm talking to Battle Rapper. You've seen him on Smack. You've seen him in a couple promotions, actually. A lot of people talking about him. I have Mike P on the show. How's it going, Mike?
Yo, what's up, man? How are we doing?
I'm doing well. Now, I noticed you moved into a new apartment and everything. That must have been solid, but the big deal was the iBattle event over the weekend. How was that, by the way?
iBattle event was dope, man. I'm not going to lie. I missed a couple battles. Got a little tired, had to leave late, but battles were dope, man. 2-on-2 was dope. Jeff and Goods, of course, that came out probably, I think, yesterday, right?
Yeah, I watched it a couple times, actually. It's dope.
Yeah, exactly. Really solid battle. Really solid event, man. And Lex always holds great events. I'm happy that he's doing the whole iBattle thing. And, I've been with him, following him since the Beast Mode joints and things like that. So, yeah, iBattle was definitely popping last weekend. Absolutely.
Yeah, it just seems to be popping in general. Like, you battled for iBattle against Tape Deck. Do you have any plans of battling with them in the future at all?
iBattle, I mean, not right now. The goal is URL. URL always, until something comes up or I have a gap in between, battles, then, it's always a possibility, man. I got a long career ahead of me, so, you never know, man. You never know.
Yeah, absolutely. You're just going to steady hype man Dunch in the back?
Absolutely. Always. I'll always be Dunch's hype man, man. I think Dunch is one of the nicest battle rappers out, man. So is Eddie I, man. Eddie I, there's not a lot of people that are very familiar with him. Eddie I is, like, one of the dopest rappers as well. iBattle got a lot of heavy hitters, man. They got a lot of heavy hitters.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And, yeah, I was just wondering what your first exposure to hip-hop overall was. Like when did that really make an impact for you, noticed?
I mean, as far as getting my first hip-hop, I would have to say, music-wise, I didn't really get into it till like, my sister put me on. My sister put me on Pac when I was, like, probably, like, 12, 13. And I became obsessed with Pac, man. I had all his CDs. I know all his songs, like, the whole nine. And from that, it came. I was always a music person in general, so I was listening to any type of music, any type of genre. But as far as hip-hop really came from my sister, man. My sister put me on to hip-hop as far as, being younger. And, yeah, that's about it, man. It grew from there, and I've always been around the rap scene. I've been making music since I was 14, which I'll be getting back on this year. So I have a long history of being in the culture and respecting the culture and understanding it to a certain extent.
Yeah, right on. So when did you first check out battle rap? Like, when did that become a thing for you? And then also, when did you decide you actually wanted to participate in it and go beyond just, being a fan?
Well, really since the beginning, since the Smack battles started dropping on YouTube, that's really when I first started watching it, the Grind Times, into the King of the Dots, even the Scribble Jam joints, all of that, man. It was really from the jump, man. As soon as it came out on YouTube, was when I started getting into it. I was battling before, when I was younger, but who wasn't? There was a lot of people that had, high school battles and battles in their middle school and on the baseball fields and shit like that. That wasn't even rappers, It wasn't even making music or battling. So I've always been a big fan of battle rap. The becoming a battle rapper was the most random thing ever. I had taken like a 3-year hiatus from making music. I had basically given up my artistic side due to, a lot of shit was going on in my life, and I decided to kick the music, and when I decided to go back into it, one of my homeboys had actually just went, maybe you should do a rap battle. And I was like, why would I do a rap battle to get myself? He's like, well, E&J, a shout out to E&J, Long Island. He said, oh, this dude E&J, man, he hosts like a Long Island rap scene. Like, you should do, take a battle. And at first I said no, like, I didn't even want to do it. Excuse me. Then I thought about it. Probably like a week later, I was like, whatever, let's do it. And that's it, man. That's how I kicked off. My boy had asked me just to, as a favor, to do a battle, and
I took it up, and shit is history now.
No, that's really cool, and it's good to, you know, hear about coming back into it after the hiatus and everything like that. I saw you had a little tease for the battle announcement, though, you have coming up, though. There was a gun pick on Instagram, saw some angry reaction faces in the chamber there. What's going on with that? Is there any developments with that, or still working things out?
You're definitely going to find out soon, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. I got something big in the works, man, and this has basically been the theme for a minute now, like probably since Tink the Demon. I've been getting a lot of important battles and really ones that will shift my career depending on what happens. I always pick the toughest fights, and this one's going to be a tough one, man. This is going to be a tough one. It's another vet. I can't say his name. It's another vet. It's another main stage. From what I know, it's looking like a main stage battle. And I'm looking like I'm headlining it. So it's definitely a big one. And, you know, I just got to lock down. I actually, you know, just started really writing probably like a couple of days for it. I like to float ideas around, little punchlines, little, you know, possible angles for about a week or two before I really get into the preparation process. And, you know, I'm in it now, and I'm excited, man. This is going to be huge, bro. But, you know, trust me, people will find out soon. It'll be announced very soon.
More Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be shouting at you to get you to break down some bars after this next battle?
I know, right? Man, I hope so. I hope so. That shit is amazing, man. Shout out to McCoy, bro.
Yeah, that must have been a cool experience. And I was watching your Pro Kane battle, and you were talking about how some bars you sort of thought of at work, and you were alluding to, you know, getting some things loosely going there with this next battle. So what's your usual process? Do you usually just kind of think of things at work and then you sort of like write them down throughout the day, or like what's your typical methodology, if there is one?
Well, I mean, as of lately, it's kind of been a process that I've become familiar with, but it used to be all over the place, man. My first three or four battles, I didn't even write. You know what I mean? I never actually physically wrote down rounds. I would just kind of cycle bars in my head, and you know, like I said at Pro Kane, man, every single day of my job, like I would just cycle bars, walk around, you know, I'd repeat four bars until it's stamped in my head, work on the next four, and then from then I started writing, and there was no such thing as like putting down ideas to the side and possible lines. It was just start to finish. You know, as soon as I start a line, I got to finish it, and there's no, you know, putting nothing to the side or piecing together. Now it's more of a mental preparation before, you know, I'm thinking of lines, I'm thinking of what I want to do, I'm even making voice memos, you know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, stay aggressive in this, and, you know, make sure you touch on that, don't forget about this. I'm putting punchlines to the side, I'm jotting down ideas, I'm jotting down angles, and then it becomes a, you know, you start piecing it together. A lot of things get thrown to the wayside. A lot of things get added. You know, there's things that I was meant for the first round that get pushed into the second because I don't have enough room, and then it gets pushed into the third, and then it completely disappears because I forgot. I started remembering something else, but I let my mind come to me, man. There's no time where I'm like, you know, make sure at 8 o'clock I sit down and write. Like, I can't do that. There's no such thing as scheduling prepping for a battle. Like I said, I just started writing for this battle now, probably like a couple of days ago. I've known about it for about a month, but I don't force myself. There's no such thing as pushing the artistic side of you. I wait till it comes to me, man. And when it's risky waiting on my brain, but when my brain goes, all right, it's time to write, then, you know, it's time to write.
No, I think it would come up more organic that way, I would imagine, not to be punny with a battle rap thing, but I mean, it'll be just like a natural sort of thing coming out of you if it's just like something that inspires you. But yeah, you kind of have that multi-layered style there. So how did that all come about? Just, you know, being a fan of battle rap or trying to get your personality across? Because you seem to really cover a lot of the, you know, aspects of like comedy, working the crowd, schemes, big punches, etc.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I try to work on everything I could possibly work on. Obviously, I have a lot of common sense, and I feel like that's the reason why I progress a lot. I have the ability to know where I stand, to know how good I am, or at least how good I think I am, and I know what I need to work on. I know what I could leave alone. But for the most part, man, I have everything. Everything's a process, and I'm constantly unhappy with my performances, which is great because you know, it makes me really evaluate what I do, and it makes me really, you know, hone in on what's needed for the next performance. It's always about, you know, being a better Mike P than the last Mike P that came on stage. It's never about winning. It's never about winning. If I do what I'm supposed to do, my opponent loses in the process. So, yeah, I mean, and it's great just learning, like you said, the performance aspect of it, the joking, the crowd control. Like, it's all a learning process constantly. And the tough thing about battle rap is there is no real practice for that. It's a one time. You got one time. You got one shot to do it. You got one shot to control the crowd for that material. You got one shot to have it hit, you know what I mean, get through clean. So battle rap is tough to progress in on stage because you don't get a lot of times where you can get on stage and really start getting into it. It's a weird, you know, seasonal process of, you know, four times a year, three, four times a year. So I just, you know, get used to it. Always study the game tape, study myself, and, you know, you improve from there. And that's the reason why I'm yet to plateau. I'm always improving. I'm always trying to break barriers of, you know, what I could do and how to get reaction without throwing a punch or, you know what I mean? And that's about it, man. Just always grinding, man. Always grinding.
And that's what it's about, too. I mean, in a very service area way, battle rap is very much, you know, one person against another person. But really, it's about besting your own performances, because whenever you see people reviewing things, it's always like, oh, yeah, it's not as good as their da-da-da battle. But, I mean, in the preparatory stages, it's interesting, because something like the Street Fighter scheme you had, I mean, I imagine when you're practicing it, you're probably just going through your head, like, just by virtue of practicing so many times, like, is this going to hit? Is this going to work in the building? Must be just, like, really satisfying to actually drop it in the moment and see it go over as big as it did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, the funniest part about the Street Fighter thing is I almost actually didn't perform it the day of because I never thought that it was going to hit. There were times where I thought it was going to hit, like during the preparation process. And it's funny because eventually you see yourself and you hear yourself say things so many times that you actually start to doubt it because you've heard it a million times.
So yeah.
It's a thing. All right, maybe it's not. Maybe this isn't going to hit. So that's really tough mentally, you know, convincing yourself, like, you know, hey, nobody else knows this but you. Like, you know it's good. Just stick with it. But the whole Street Fighter thing, man, that almost got taken out. I had four bars in replacement of that because there was, to me, the only thing that held it was, can I perform it good and can I do the voice as good as I possibly can? There is no punchline in it. There's no metaphors. There's no scheming. It's just talk with. It was a performance. It was a performance. It was a four-bar performance / impersonation. And I definitely think I broke a little barrier there with what it takes to get reaction. And I actually did the same thing with New Jersey Twerk, but for in a different way. The same formula that I came up with for the Street Fighter, I applied to the twerk battle, and it worked the same way, man. And, you know, definitely figure something out, man. You figure something out, and you work on it, and, you know, you're bound to be successful. So it definitely works.
Yeah, you mentioned the twerk battle, too, and that seemed to go over pretty well in the building. So do you know when the footage is going to be dropping at all, or has anyone said anything to you about that?
Nah, I really don't. I already thought before they started dropping battles, I had a feeling it was probably going to be the last battle on Gnome to drop. Being that everybody saw the battles on pay-per-view, it still holds a lot of anticipation. I don't see it dropping in the middle of, you know, we still got Goods in Top, we still got Briz and Ill Will, we still got Tay Rock and Chess to drop. So I imagine those battles dropping before ours just to add to the anticipation. Do I want it to drop? Absolutely. I would like for it to come out, but I do have patience. And, you know, everybody's going to love the performance, so I'm really not that much in a rush to, you know, to get it released. I think it's good that people, you know, haven't seen it yet.
I mean, you got to get ice cream for the top URL guys. I figured they'd at least get your battle out there in a prompt fashion, right?
No, right? Seriously, dude. Seriously. Mac, I'm always getting snow cones and shit. It's just terrible.
That was funny, though. No, that War Report video, like the... the trolling around with the URL contract. I enjoyed that. And you do have a funny sort of social media presence there. And I think that's sort of an unobserved side of battle rapping for a number of people. Just, you know, optimizing your social media presence and really getting your personality across to actually benefit the battle efforts. So how does a battler on the come up make the most of, you know, these current tools that are at their disposal to really get the shine they're looking for?
You gotta have it, man. Like you could lay the blueprint out for somebody, but at the end of the day, it has to be genuine. The fans have to receive it as that's you. That's just you naturally. For people that are trying to get their names out, man, for me, it is all about what you do when you step on that stage. It's not if you get a win. It's not who you're battling. It's not what league it's on. It's what are you going to say that is going to wow people? What are you going to say that people are going to remember, that's going to stick in people's heads? Even if you have a debatable, you have the moment of the battle. Every battle that I've been in since I've been on URL and since I've started, I always have the best moment. At some point, I have the most memorable line or the most memorable scheme or something. And that's what it's about. I feel like that's what takes you to the top, man. You have to stick. There has to be things that you do that stick. And it's tough, man. And the process, you know, you got to go through the process of figuring it out at the end of the day.
Yeah, and it's really something you have to translate on all platforms as well, because I think you do that. I mean, I noticed the Vegeta Be Like Instagram videos. Like, those were pretty uncanny, that Vegeta impression you had there.
Yeah, and that's what I did versus Twerk. I did a Vegeta impression. I did four bars in Vegeta's voice. No one's doing that. Nobody's doing that. No one's doing the Hadouken, nobody. And I know that. You know what I mean? I know that I have to do things like that. And at the end of the day, it's all about entertaining, man. I want to entertain these guys. Like, I want people to like what I do. And, yeah, like you said, man, I take my blog aspect as well, and I apply it into battles, you know, when I can. And like you said, and that's another thing, man. You got to be aware of what's working. When I put that video out online, it had like 70, 80,000 views in the first day. So then that told me in the back of my head, all right, I could probably do a good Vegeta. I guess I got a good Vegeta impression.
Yeah.
And I thought, all right, I want to run the Street Fighter thing back eventually, but I don't want to do Street Fighter. I did Ryu's voice. All right, let's do Vegeta's voice. And it worked just as good, man. It's, you know, you got to be aware, bro. You have to be your sole focus. If you're focused on you and you know, the best way that you can improve yourself, that's how you get out there, man. And like I said, I've been doing good so far, so.
Yeah, and then you had that Spirit Bomb scheme there against Trez that you were putting out. That was really good as well. And then you also had the Goku Has Never Beat Vegeta picture, so it seems like you're a big fan of the show, and I am too, so I just thought that was neat.
Oh, yeah, Dragon Ball Z all fucking day, man. Dragon Ball Z all day.
Oh, yeah, Majin Vegeta's the dude, for sure. It was always weird how, like, everybody seemed to like Vegeta better than Goku, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's just Vegeta. I feel like it might represent the proud people, man, that, you know, may think that they're better than people, and they know they are, and you know, other guys are getting the praise, but you got to stick it out, man. You got to be the warrior. Vegeta's a warrior, man. I feel like Vegeta when I'm on that stage, bro. Everybody thinks I'm the weakest and all that shit, and you got to prove yourself, bro. You got to prove yourself constantly. Throw a big bang attack on him.
I was going to say, who's giving you the Majin powers on stage if you're Vegeta? Like Beasley or something?
What happened?
The Majin Vegeta powers? Who's the Bobbity in that situation getting you fired up on stage if you're Vegeta?
Yeah, Beasley would be Bobbity. Bobbity. And if I can hint, my next opponent is Boo.
That's awesome. And I was also seeing you were a fan of Chappelle's Show, which I was digging. Like when you did the line where you said, your man sing and you get metal across your mouth, that's the start of the Chappelle Show. Like, that was a fire up. And then also when you referenced Wrap That Shit Up, B, that was great too.
Oh, yeah. That was against Haitian. Yeah. That was the first PG, man. That was the first PG. Yeah, that was a good one, man. I love the Chappelle Show, man. Every single episode I probably know by heart.
Oh, same.
Yeah. And but, yeah, man, it's what I do, bro. I got to tap into what I know I could do. And apply it.
And that's just the cool sort of thing with hip-hop, because like when I was watching that battle, obviously there was the Chappelle Show references and there was the Smash Brothers scheme. I just sent that to my brother, gave him like a little timestamp of everything. Like, yo, you got to check this out. And it's just, he doesn't follow battles like as regularly as I do. And like, I have other friends who like hip hop and it's just cool to, you know, show them those sort of things because I think it can get them into it a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what it is. Like your responsibility is as someone in the culture, man, you want to attract new people. You want to expand what you do. It's just like any other job, man. You want to have little fundraisers and food drives and get people interested in your company and whatever you're doing. You want to get people into it. And I feel like that's a perfect way to do so. Like I said, man, the Hadouken, that got, 10 million views on Facebook. I guarantee at least 2 million of them don't even watch Battle Rap. You know what I mean? Maybe even more, maybe 5 or 6. You know, there's probably a large amount of people that don't even watch Battle Rap that like that. And maybe I added a few thousand fans to the Battle Rap world with that. But, you know, I feel like that's my responsibility. You know, you got to try to expand Battle Rap. I'm trying to take Battle Rap as big as it could possibly get, despite the ceiling that a lot of people think it has.
Absolutely. And that's kind of the thing I'm seeing in MMA right now, like with a lot of UFC fighters trying to, you know, appeal to the core fan base, but also get that mainstream attention and bring in new fans as well. But kind of talking about fighting, I mean, you sort of seem like a fighting guy. You referenced Tommy Hearns in that battle with Aura, and I saw a picture you had with some boxing gloves. Do you box? Like, what's going on there?
I boxed when I was younger. I boxed literally after I got jumped. I got jumped when I was 18. Decided to take boxing. I'm actually a few months into Muay Thai right now. I've been doing Muay Thai for a little while.
Oh, cool.
But I'm actually ditching that because I just moved to a new apartment, and literally a 1 minute walk, there's a big boxing academy, and I love boxing, man. I always wanted to be a boxer when I was younger, and the Muay Thai is cool, but I love throwing the hands. Not in, you know, actual street fights and shit, that's dumb, but I love the art of boxing. I love everything it's about, man. And yeah, Tommy Hearns, Marvin Hagler, all those people I watched when I was a kid, man.
Roberto Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard.
Duran, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I wasn't watching them when they were doing it, but, you know, I watched all the game tapes and all the matches that happened in the 80s and shit like that. And I was a big fan of boxing. Kind of fell off now, but boxing was huge to me, man, when I was younger, so... I can't wait to get back into it. I'm actually going to sign up tomorrow for that place, man. Can't wait.
No, that's cool. I'm a big boxing fan, too. I've trained a little bit as well, and that was sort of the first thing I got into fighting-wise. But I totally get what you mean. It's one of those things where it has just a different feel back in the day. Nowadays, it just, I don't know, for whatever reason, doesn't quite feel the same. But I thought it was interesting in that Tink recap you had there where you were talking about sort of the psychology of the battle, and you actually related to it as like a boxing sort of thing, you know, like rally late in the round to get the punches, a la maybe like a Manny Pacquiao to steal it. So does that sort of psychology extend through all the rounds and just the battle overall, like through the boxing lens?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, always, everything's hit or miss. You can write something and say, all right, this is probably going to get a reaction. You have a feel for what's going to get reaction. When I write something, and I know it's really good, I'm going to be like, okay, this should definitely get big reaction. There's some of my best bars I think I've ever wrote from a technical standpoint that got crickets. And some of the bars that I thought were my worst bars were the biggest moments of the night. So at the end of the day, you don't know. But absolutely, with the Tink thing, man, that was real, man. And that's the same thing Leonard did to Duran in the No Mock fight. He had his coach, you know, hit the ring. Or clap or something like that with every, you know, the last 10 seconds of every round or 15 seconds. And, you know, he would flurry and kind of steal the round by being flashy and throwing a lot of punches. And that's definitely how I prep for fights, man. I mean, for battles. There's a lot of moments where I know, all right, you know, hit him with a flurry over here, hit him with a flurry over there. Because as much as I'm not that into the whole punching aspect, I like to talk. I like to... you know, play around with words more than I like to get straight to the point. I do know that still needs to be done. So I definitely place my punches and know where to, you know, do little rallies here and there.
Yeah, I just think that's an interesting way to look at it, the psychology aspect. of the whole thing. And you were talking about Gnome 7, how it was a surreal sort of moment for you. And I thought it sounded really cool. It sounded like kind of like the actualization of a dream sort of thing. So what's that next goal, you know, to keep generating those kind of feelings? Like, do you have any, you know, like, expressly mapped out goals or anything like that?
I mean, Summer Madness will always be something, you know, a dream. I think that's a dream of anybody really that's a battle rapper or, you know, aspiring battle rapper. That is the Super Bowl, Stanley Finals, the NHL. That's what it is. But Gnome 7 is just as big. I don't want to feel like a, you know, crackhead chasing that first hit, but I see myself probably having a better night than that. That night was amazing, man. Like, I can't even. I still kind of, you know, I still got the Irving Plaza wristbands that I'm always going to keep. And, you know, I'll look at them every now and then, like, damn, man, like, it's almost surreal. Like I said, man, it almost didn't happen. You know, it doesn't feel like it happened. But I don't know, man. I just plan on doing big things. Gnome 7, clear, you know, certainly something big. Definitely the best moment in my career. And but I plan on making every moment after, you know, my best. I mean, you're going to have your ups, you're going to have your downs. But yeah, man, just try to make the best of every situation. And the last situation I was thrown in with, Gnome 7, 3 weeks to write, least amount of prep I've ever had in my life for the biggest moment I've ever had against the biggest hype battle rapper at that time. You know, and I pulled through. But I think it's because I understand it. I understand what it takes. I understand what I have to do, and you know, I just rely on my ability to get it done, and that's it.
Yeah, that's all you really can do. And we were talking about that next battle of yours. You can't obviously divulge much information on that, but you've talked about certain battlers like T-Top, Chess, Steams, a few guys you'd want to battle there. And are there any prospective opponents that you'd like to, you know, go at it with for the rest of the year? Maybe like a JC or Rum Nitty, someone like that?
Well, I mean, I think one day me and Briz are going to cross paths. Briz is always going to be someone that I'll mention as far as who I want to battle. I definitely want to catch A-Verb before he's on his way out, if he is, which I don't believe. Battle rappers, you know, fake retire all the time. But, you know, I don't really have that crazy of a hit list. In the future, I think Young Cannon will be somebody that I want to battle. Just due to the fact that, you know, all the shit that we, you know, little back and forths we've had.
The angry fan interactions and all that?
Yeah, all that crazy stuff. He's actually the first person that I really want to, you know, like, beat the shit out of. Lyrically, obviously not physically.
Yeah.
That I want to drop, like, 900 on him. I want to drop a literal lyrical spirit bomb over his head. but... Yeah, and then you got, you know, the ones that I like the best ones, man. So I think Chess is great. Tay-Rock, I'd love to battle Tay-Rock. You know, might sound crazy. I love to battle Hollow. You know, if he ever decides that, you know, he wants to take on new guys or, you know, bring himself down to a more human level, he would always be someone I want to battle. To be completely off topic, I love to battle Soul. Soul is in Don't Flop. He's one of the best battle rappers I've ever seen.
That'd be a really interesting styles matchup. That'd be a cool one. That wouldn't even be one I would think of right off the top.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. But yeah, that's about it, bro. Like I said, I don't really have hit lists because it's not the goal, man. It's not the goal to, you know, beat all these people. It's just to do something when I'm, you know, pinned up against them, matched up against them, close.
Yeah, for sure. No, I get what you mean there. And you were talking earlier about really being into Tupac when you were younger, but you also referenced Lil Yachty in the Chef Trez battle, saying blue's head red like Lil Yachty. Have you listened to any of his stuff lately? Did you listen to Teenage Emotions at all, or were you just referencing it for the pop?
Yeah, I don't listen to him, man. I don't listen to him. I'm sure if he was on, I'd probably just bump it, but like I said, man, I listen to everything, man. I will listen to Tupac, and then I will turn on Emojin Heap the very next song.
Oh, what you say?
Exactly. And then, you know, I turn on everything, man. Music is music to me, so I love it all. But yeah, I'd probably bump him if he was on, but he's not something that I'm looking for.
Yeah, for sure. So is there certain things you are bumping lately, like particular artists or songs or anything like that? Like, regardless of regardless of genre? Because I'm sort of the same way. I'm kind of all over, too.
I mean, I'm listening to Bon Iver.
Oh, nice.
Their last album is beautiful. So I've been bumping a lot of that lately. Maybe Drake, some Kendrick, some Future. I love Young Thug. Young Thug is great. Really, whatever's on, man. Whatever my mind. I mean, I was just listening to Soundgarden today. So it's like it's such a plethora of music I listen to. It's absolutely wild. Bon Iver, I don't even know what genre of music that is. I just know it's great.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's sometimes hard to, you know, say what you're listening to because it can really just depend on the moment. Like, for me, sometimes I'm listening to, like, you know, super heavy metal, and the next song is, like, just, like, a total, like, pop rock song or whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you kind of talked about wanting to get back to music earlier in the interview, and you had that video freestyling in the studio over Pound Cake. Are there any, you know, goals for a mixtape or album drop, like, with the end of the year or, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, absolutely planned on, you know, maybe a 5-6 track, you know, little mixtape just to drop, get myself warmed up. I've really just been slacking with that. Like, I need to step my game up because I've always been good at rapping on beat. I've always been good at making songs, and the caliber of pen is nowhere near what it is now, especially the ability to just create. It's at such a high level and such a higher level than I've ever had in my artist life. So I definitely got to take advantage of that, and also just open up another lane. I got to be smart, as intelligent as I am with battle rap, and how much focus I put into being a better battle rapper. I definitely need to apply it to opening other lanes. Same thing with the blogging and the videos. And definitely just got to start grinding a little more, man. I got to push myself. You can never do, you know, it's never enough. There's always more that you could do. So the music definitely coming soon, man. I promise, definitely coming soon.
No, that's the attitude to have, man. I mean, you have to be cognizant of, you know, the things you've done, but you can't rest on your laurels at the same time. So it sounds like your head's in a good place there. But you've been really good with your time. Anything you want to add as we wrap up here?
Not really, man. It's just, you know, this is what it's all about, bro. I'm ready for the next, you know, the announcement will definitely come soon. I'm just really excited for the future and you know, what URL has in store, what I have in store, and a lot of things, man, even outside of battle rap. I got a real big plan coming soon. it'll probably be up and ready by the end of the year, but you know how interactive I am with fans. I've basically came up with the ultimate interaction between fans and battle rappers, and I'm going to be launching that probably by the end of the year. I'll be introducing it probably in a few months, but that's going to be really big. So, you know, I've just got a lot of things coming, man, a lot of things coming.
So what's that, like an app or something like that, or what is it?
Man, it's not an app, unless it, you know, it could become an app. But it's definitely going to be, you know, it's definitely going to be big for the fans that, you know, there's a lot of hardcore fans in battle rap, man. There's a lot of passionate fans. And there's a lot of fans that get excited when Tay Rock likes a picture of theirs or I, you know, comment on one of their Facebook statuses or if somebody likes an Instagram pic or they respond to a DM. And there's a lot of fans. I'd also want to be a battle rapper and would like to know, you know, what would it be like if I battled Mike P, or what would it be like if you know, somebody had a round for me. And I'm basically coming up with a way of really just putting fans in our shoes and making them a battle rapper for a day. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. It's really going to be good. Just gathering all the ideas. I'm smiling from ear to ear just thinking about it right now because it's just, you know, it could potentially be really, really awesome on both sides. So, you know, we'll wait on that.
Yeah, no, I'm smiling too at that, man. That sounds like a really good idea. And that's the cool thing about this community, just the, you know, the battle rap culture, just people, you know, battlers and fans alike. There's a lot of great interaction. Like earlier, I was goofing around on the TalkBack group and I was, you know, making fun of the Jerry Seinfeld thing. And I was like, you don't want these arms around you, Jerry Seinfeld, some corny battler at the next event. And then I've got like Ellipsis in the comments. He's like, that's how you cash a body, to be honest.
Right?
So, like, yeah, it's just that fun sort of interaction, and it's cool that you'll be, you know, getting something going with that. But, yeah, great time talking to Battle Rapper, Smack Battler, quite a few leagues there, and sounds like he's getting some music out later this year. Great time with Mike P on the episode, and, yeah, man, thanks. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your night.
Dude, thank you so much, man. You too, bro.
Appreciate it. All right.
All day.
All day.